Okay, well, it's about 3 minutes past six, and I haven't heard a lot of people coming on the call, and I think we've had quite a number of apologies as well. Gabby, you, or Christina, who's on the call?
I'm doing that. This is Gabby. And we've got Bart on the call, but he's on mute. Keith Davidson, Kim Davies, Everhart Lisse, Christina Nordstrom, Nigel Roberts, and myself. And the apologies are Martin Boyle, Annabeth Lange, Patricia Poblete, Oscar Robles, Bill Semick, and Suzanne Seen.
And I have got some baby in the works, so I will have to leave sooner or later when they call me.
I guess you can't predict exactly when that will happen, Everhart.
Day and night job.
And I think Bernie's on the call as well.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention him too.
Okay. Oh, well, I think let's make a start anyway. And I think the document that we have in front of us is the document that we'll be looking at for this and the next meeting. So tonight's is really a further or a walkthrough by Bernie of what he's done since his last iteration of this paper. It's certainly developed quite substantially since then. And then we'll go into a general discussion on the points raised and whether everyone agrees that this is the right approach. If there's nothing else, shall we make a start? And Bernie, can you start walking us through?
It'll be a pleasure, sir. Can everyone hear me properly?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right. Let me see if I can control the screen. Yes, I can. All right. Everyone else seen the screen move?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So this background and charter stuff is exactly the same as it was last week. There has been no changes. Classifying issues, the only change that has been brought here is a fourth point has been added to determine if this is a policy decision. And it's actually the third point we've inserted. So the first one is essentially the same. The second one is essentially the same. The third one is new. And the fourth one is essentially the same. So basically what it says is the decision will generate noticeable changes, and we're talking about a board decision here. After discussions with Bart, we thought that the original three criteria needed strengthening, and we added this in. I believe that Bart brought in some Bart used some reference materials from the EU in competition law and various things that this was generally accepted. So that's what we've done. So to reflect adding that fourth element, which is the third point over here, is we've changed the annexes A and B to reflect that change. Are there any questions on that change? All right. So what I will do then is I will move on to the analysis of the decisions. And we'll go through our first one. Annex B. And here we go. All right, so the part in gray is the part that was taken directly from our original comparison document that was published sometime after the beginning of the year. after this part is where we start. So basically what we've got here is we're talking about the variation from RFC 1591 to ICP-1, where it went from in cases when there are persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, the delegation may be revoked and possibly delegated to another designated manager, to the text that is in ICP-1, which is in cases where there is misconduct or violation of the policies set forth in this document and RFC 1591, or persistent recurring problems with the proper operation of the domain, the IANA reserves the right to revoke and to redelegate a top-level domain to another manager. And, of course, ICP-1 is from May 1999. So we're going to put this change through mechanics that are proposed in the first section and see how that comes out. Is everyone following today? If I've lost you, just pipe up. Okay, so although ICP-1 was never formally accepted via a decision by the ACAN board, the numerous references to it in board documents that it is a policy document confer to it the status of being a statement of policies. If ICP-1 is a policy document, then it must be considered as approved by the board, given only the board can set policies. Decision to be considered is in cases where there is misconduct or violation of the policies set forth in this document, NRC 1591, or persistent recurring problems with the proper operation of the domain, the IANA reserves the right to revoke and redelegate the top domain. Did I hear a question?
No, but I was thinking about...
that I must have heard you
right.
Thinking.
Reserves the right. What right would that be?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Again, can we again make a note that I still haven't been explained what rights these are, and I'm still saying we cannot discuss policy when we don't know what rights there are. Policy now claims rights, but doesn't discuss rights of the domain holders.
Yes, I'm guilty of not having published the minutes from last week. I've been busy with a few things, so I apologize for that. But I did note that, and I promise it will be in those minutes, Eberhard.
Okay. It should also be in our documents.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So, first test, is this a change to policy or an application of policy? So, the applicable policies and facts we have, RFC 1591 does not mention revocation for misconduct or violation of policies. The only relevant section of text in RFC 1591 is in cases when there are persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, the delegation may be revoked and possibly delegated to another designated manager. The GAC principles 2000 were not yet published because we're talking about May 1999 for ICP-1. And no other policy decisions mentioning revocation or delegation of CCTLD for any cause were documented at the time of this decision. So if that's the background, we're trying to consider the information in. The evaluation is that this is an implicit decision of the board regarding revocation of CCTLDs. The core elements of this policy The core elements instead of policy should be decision are not covered by an existing policy. Revocation, redelegation of a CCTLD is one of the most significant decisions with respect to CCTLDs, and adoption of this section will cause noticeable change for the third test. Whoa. Sorry, runaway mouse. This board decision is not specific to a given CCTLD, but to all CCTLDs. So the recommendation is that this implicit decision by the board, de facto right there, meets the four criteria from the decision tree, and it would support a recommendation by the DRDWG that this section is a change of policy that is applicable to the operation of CCTLDs, and it's relevant to delegation, redelegation, and retirement as per the charter of the working group.
Bernie, it's Nigel.
Yes.
Okay, I want to be a little bit pedantic, as I occasionally am. And this recommendation, I have some comments about the wording of it. You say it supports a recommendation by the DRWG that this decision is a change in policy that is applicable to the operation of CCTLDs. The wording seems to imply that the group accepts that there is a change, which there appears to be, and that it is applicable to the operation of CCTLDs.
I'm going to stop you there, Nigel. This is in no way my intent, and I can reward it any way you want.
Of course, I'm not being challenging. I'm simply being very, very... having seen the way ICP1 was developed back in the day and then subsequent and said it's no change at all, I remember very, very public statements by Louis Tuton. ICP1 is not a change to RFC 1591, when you've just proved a decade later that it's a very significant change. So,
yeah, no, the point here is not trying to get the DRDWG to confirm that change or implicitly.
Can I stop you there, Bernie? I know that's not what you're trying to do.
Yes,
I'm just trying to eliminate the possibility that somebody may in the future use this wording to suggest that it is.
And this is why we're having these meetings, so we can get this kind of input and make sure that everyone's...
Okay, so I'm not going to rewrite it on the fly, but if you just say that, I'm going to raise a little pink flag at this point to say we must be careful about... We all know what we mean, but we must be careful how we express it and cast it into writing.
Excellent. All right.
Okay.
I will note that.
Now I can
you can write here that it is unexplained where this reserving of the rights is coming from, or any rights that I can think it
hey,
is coming from.
What part
yeah.
of we're not going to rewrite it on the fly now did you not understand?
I just want it written in the document that we have reservations about it.
Okay, well, that's what I said.
Yeah,
both of those things noted, and I don't have a problem with them.
Yeah, point well made and noted. Thank you, Nigel. Yes, so I'm reading it with your
view in mind. It's difficult to understand.
Sorry?
Your voice is not very loud and difficult to understand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm just saying I agree with Nigel's assertion that this doesn't read particularly well, so we'll do some work on rewording the recommendation. And did someone just join the call during Bernie's discussion? Well, it may have been someone falling off the call. Anyway, sorry, Bernie, continue.
Thank you, sir. All right, so with the understanding that, thank you for those comments, Nigel, we'll work on the wording of that. Now, regardless of the wording, it does meet the four tests for a change in policy, and therefore what we would like is if the working group concurs that they confirm that the interpretation is, as far as ICANN is concerned, this was a change in policy, regardless whether people accepted it. Did this meet the requirements for policy development if it is accepted that it was a change in policy? Dated the decision was May 1999, and would limit policy development requirements to Section 3 notice and comment provisions. which were at the time, provide public notice on the website explaining what policies are being considered for adoption and why, provide a reasonable opportunity for parties to comment on the adoption of the proposed policies to see the comments of others and to reply to those comments, and three, to hold a public forum at which the proposed policy would be discussed. The bylaws in effect at the time noted that the DNSO shall advise the board with respect to policy issues relating to the domain name system. So if we look at those in the context of the evaluation, of course most of us are familiar as to how ICP-1 was brought into this world. There is no record of a public consultation on this topic. There is no record of a public forum discussion on this topic, and there is no record of any communications between the board and the DNSO on this matter that could be considered advice. Therefore, taking that into consideration, given this decision can be classified as a policy decision and that it failed to meet all of the requirements for policy development, in effect at the time, it would support a classification of significantly interesting by the working group, if that's what the working group, if the working group agrees with what we've gone through here. Before I go into the note, do I have any questions? Okay, I'll take that as a no. At the end of this, we've got a note. If the working group supports this decision, this would then challenge the statement introducing ICP-1 that says this document is a summary of current practices of the Internet Assigned Name Numbers Authority, IANA, in administrating 1591, which includes the guidance contained in the news memos, and it does not reflect any changes in policy affecting the administration of DNS delegations, which I think Nigel brought up a few minutes ago. So basically what we've done now is picked up our first issue from the original issues list that was published about 6 weeks ago, or maybe a bit more, and we've put it through the machine, if you will, of walking it through the decision, seeing was this, did this end up being something that could be considered a change in policy, and if it was, did it meet the requirements for doing that? And although the wording has to be adjusted, and I have noted that, basically, what we're saying is this would seem to support recommendation by the working group that it was intended as a change in policy and that, no, it did not meet any of the criterion in effect at the time to support this kind of a change. Any questions at this point? Okay. So, basically, that's the first decision analyzed. The second section, we've got decisions of the ICANN board which are relevant to the work of the working group but not directly related to a specific delegation, redelegation, or retirement. Our first item up here is the famous ISO 3166 reserve list. I'm actually trying to follow the blog here, Nigel, sorry. So basically, from the board minutes we have, the IANA staff is advised that Alpha 2 codes not on the ISO 3166-1 list are delegable as CCTLDs only in cases where the ISO 3166 maintenance agency on its exceptional reservation list has issued a reservation of the code that covers any application, ISO 3166-1, that needs a coded representation in the name of the country, territory, or area involved. So that's the statement next that we're going to try and put through this process. Do we have any questions before I start that?
Yeah, this is Nigel. Just to give a bit of historical background, because this relates directly to GG, JE, AC, and I think UK as well, I'm not sure.
I am.
Thank you, Everhard, thank you very much. The rule, and I've got documentation of this if it's felt to be relevant, the rule previous to this resolution by the ICANN board was that the IANA staff had, that would be John Postel at the time, had changed the rules so that an ISO 3166-1-2 character code was delegable as a CCTLD if it was on the ISO exceptional reserved list and was designated by the Universal Postal Union for the designation of a National Postal Service. Bet you always wanted to know that.
Well, the context I've taken here, and this may be true, and maybe Kim will enlighten us with some additional facts or confirm or infirm this. Basically, what I did was start with RFC 1591 and looked at what I had available for public documents. And starting from that point, basically, as we go through the analysis that I've got here, at any rate, I could not find any information relevant to that.
I'm absolutely certain you wouldn't, because it existed in the email archive of the IANA from July 1996, which I believe is not extant. Is that right, Kim?
We don't have access to most of the emails from that era, that's correct.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my copy of the email exchanges around the delegation of GG and JE.
Well, then in that case, Nigel, if it's from 1996, I think the way I've got this structured probably covers it. And
I think that's correct. I'm not entirely saying that it's that even if this particular piece of information was included, and I think it would be a distraction if it was, but it, since we picked on this one, which was, again, it was a fudged... The 1996 rule change was a fudge to allow the Isle of Man and the Channel Islands. This was a fudge to allow .eu.
Yes, we understand each other. All right.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I think the point here, though, Nigel, is that RFC 1591 doesn't refer to the reserved list at all. And in fact, it states most of these top-level domains are two-letter country codes taken from the ISO standard 3166 full stop. And the issue here is that the board have applied an interpretation to that, saying that they will deem the policy to include the reserved list.
That is correct. And the point is that what I think the point that we need to tease out of this is that the decision in July 1996, which is the actual decision I wasn't complaining about, and the decision in September 2000, are both examples of policymaking on the hoof. Make it up as we go along policymaking, and not proper...
Well, hopefully when we finish going through the analysis, we will have reached that conclusion. And given that the 96 one predates ICANN, I'm not necessarily sure I want to give a try to that one.
No, quite. It's just for background information for everybody on the call, because we've all come into this at different stages in the development of the DNS over the years.
Yes, this is true. Well,
okay.
Thank you, because I wasn't aware of that additional requirement. Kim, do you have any comments on that?
Can't say that I do. Thanks for asking.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, if it's okay with everyone, then, and I'm actually, the tea is kicking in a bit, so I'm a little bit more awake. Hopefully, I'll be more entertaining in going through this one. Change to policy or application of policy. So I'm going to also move just a little bit quicker, given that I'm hoping you're getting a feel for how we're applying the mechanics here. The relevant sections from RFC 1591 are top-level structure of domain names in the domain name space, the system, naming of computers, there is blah, 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 and the two-letter country codes from ISO 31, from ISO 3166. It is extremely unlikely that other TLDs will be created. And number four, rights to names. The IANA is not in the business of deciding what is and what is not a country. The selection of ISO 3166 list as a basis for country code top-level domain names was made with the knowledge that ISO has a procedure for determining which entities should be and should not be on that list. From ICP-1, we have fairly simpler text where we only refer to, more specifically, ISO 3166-1. And no extension to the reserve list in either of those mentions. Would you like to point to something, Keith?
Danny, there is a pointer on the bottom. There is an arrow type thing. If you click on that, and you can sort of point where you are I'm referring to. That makes it much easier to follow. Perfect.
Okay. From Keith, I'm going to fight you on the whiteboard. Relevant section from the GRAC principles, country code top-level domain or CCTLD means a domain in the top level of the global domain name system assigned according to two-letter codes in ISO 3166-1 standard. Codes for the reservation of names, countries, and their subdivisions. So, again, no mention of the reserved list. So, putting this through the process of determining if it was a change in policy. This is an explicit decision by the board that concerns the delegation of CCTLDs. The core elements of this decision are not covered by existing policies. Allowing for a new class of CCTLDs is a significant change for CCTLDs, so therefore the decision will generate noticeable changes. And this board decision is not specific to a given CCTLD, but all that qualify going forward. So the recommendation on this part of it would be, given this the board resolution that meets the four criteria from the decision tree, it would support a recommendation by the DRDWG that this decision is a change in policy that is applicable to the delegation of CCTLDs. I don't know if there are questions at this point. Okay. So, moving right along, if we accept the concept that this should be considered as a change in policy, did this meet the requirements for policy development? The date of this decision, September 2000, would limit the policy development requirements to Section 3, Notice and Comment Provisions, which we've gone through previously, notice on the website, reasonable opportunity for parties to comment and hold a public forum. What's our evaluation then? There is no record of a public consultation on this topic. There is no record of a public forum discussion on this topic. And there is no record of any communication between the board and the DNSO on this matter that could be considered advice. The recommendation then is, given this decision can be classified as a policy decision and that it failed to meet all requirements for policy development in effect at the time, it would support a classification as significantly interesting by the DWG. Any questions, thoughts, or comments at this point?
Now, it's a typing error.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Under notes, although this board decision is...
I'm not there yet. I'll get to the note right after this. I want to make sure we're okay up to the note. Okay, hearing nothing, here we go on the notes. Although this board decision is modification to the policies applicable to CCTLDs, it was never incorporated into ICP-1, and there were never any follow-on documents to ICP-1. This is an interesting meta-issue to the work of the working group, given ICP-1 continued to be referred to as the only policy document applicable to CCTLDs within ICANN even after this decision, the GAC principles being referred to as guidance as opposed to policy. This would suggest that the decision was classified as a non-policy decision. Because of this, many CCTLDs participating in ICANN still consider RFC 1591 as the only policy document applicable to CCTLDs, brackets, given ICP-1 states it contains no new policies. And to sort of support that statement, we've got a quote from the 2003 IANA report on the redelegation of .ky. In acting on redelegation requests, the IANA currently follows the practices summarized in ICP-1. ICP-1 represents an update of the portions of RFC 1591 dealing with CCTLDs and reflects subsequent documents and evolution of policies followed by the IANA through May 1999. Relevant guidance is also provided by the GAC principles. That is the only reference to policies 3 years after this decision that we finished analyzing was taken. So just pointing the fact out that this seems to create some inconsistency. Did you have a point to make on this, Eberhard?
Can you move a little bit back?
Yes, sir.
The beginning of notes?
Yes, sir. Right here.
There, it's a typing error.
Yes, okay.
I don't want to nitpick, but we can, we always run some spelling checker, but it's better to have a document that has no obvious typing errors.
Oh, I'm sure it'll go through multiple edits. But thank you for that one. I've got a note on that. Anything else? Okay. So we'll consider this one done. So what I've done, because this decision was a little seminal, was that I've actually included the text from the board minutes accompanying this decision. And if you have not read it, I find it quite instructive. I don't plan to go through it on the call. It's there as reference material, and I believe with the people we've got on the call today that most of them would be familiar with this material. But even if this is the case, we don't know who's going to be reading this document. And as Nigel said, there's probably some people that are not aware as much as we are of some of the history. And additionally, it's just nice to see it all in one place. So fairly lengthy board minutes on that one. And then we end up on the next item from that same batch of resolution on the same date. Any questions before I start on that one? Okay, I'm going to declare a 60-second break because I've been talking for over half an hour and I need to go get some water, and I'll be right back and we'll get right to it. Is that okay, Mr. Chair?
No problems at all, Bernie. And thanks very much, too, so far. I think while Bernie's getting himself a glass of water, does anyone on the call have anything to raise at this point about the methodology and the way it's being applied so far?
Keith, it's just that my first principle things that I mention on every working group doesn't seem to be reflected, but in a minute, eventually we'll get it in.
Yeah, well, I think the point is firmly noted, but using this methodology, it specifically is applying only to the comparison between 1591, ICP1, GAC principles, and the decisions of the board, which is probably the primary amount of work that we can do, but we will not lose sight of the issues that you've raised relating to the earlier delegations and the rights that were associated with those.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I have water and I'm ready to proceed if that's okay.
Thanks, Benny.
All right. Thank you for keeping the troops entertained while I wasn't there, Keith. So, from that same board meeting of September 25th, 2000, we have the further decision, 75, that in view of the state of the ongoing discussions directed towards reaching stable and appropriate agreements between ICANN and the CCTLD organizations, delegation of additional CCTLDs should be finalized only upon achievement of stable and appropriate agreements between ICANN and the CCTLD organization in a form approved by the board. So, that's the next statement we want to put through the grinder on this one. Any questions before we start? Okay. Change to policy or application of policy. So as you see, we're just using the standard approach about how to go through this and just trying to apply it in a very clear and predictable fashion. Applicable policies and facts. RFC 1591 does not mention agreements or contracts. ICP1 does not mention agreements. Yeah, okay, some spelling to fix here. Agreements or contracts are requiring board approval for the delegation or redelegations because, of course, with this change, delegations, redelegations, and retirements became board decisions. Relevant sections from the GAC Principles 2000 at this point were under definitions. Communication should include law, regulation, agreement, document, contract, memorandum of understanding, or any other written instrument as appropriate. Under Section 6.2, role of ICANN, we have specifically in relation to the administration and operation of CCTLDs, ICANN's role is to develop and implement policies that fulfill the provisions of Clause 10 below. And Section 10 is principles concerning communication between ICANN and the delegee. And basically what I've done is I've included all of Section 10 after this decision to get to the details of it if you are interested. So if we move to the evaluation section, this is an explicit decision by the board that concerns the delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. The core elements of this decision are not covered by any existing policies. the subpoint on this one is the GAC principles 2000 seem to support the notion of agreements between ICANN and CCTLDs. However, it is important to note that the status of these versus policies is unclear. These are meant to be guidance for the board, but cannot be considered policies for the corporation, especially given that the ICANN board had not approved them at the time, nor have they since then. I'm not implying anything here. The decision will generate noticeable changes. I don't think we need to go into the details. Basically, if you're going into from a regime where there is no formal agreements to actual contracts with monetary requirements, then we can safely say, I believe, that it's a noticeable change. And the board decision is not specific to a given CCTLD, but to all that qualify going forward. So basically, this one is a slam dunk that the board resolution meets the four criteria from the decision tree, and it would support a recommendation by the working group that this decision is a change in policy that is applicable to the delegation of CCTLDs. All right, up to here. Do we have questions, thoughts, or comments? Okay, moving right along. If we get a recommendation from the working group that it is considered as a change in policy, and I believe there's not a lot of doubt relating to that, did it meet the requirements that were in effect at the time for a change of policy? Again, the same things apply. Provide public notice, provide reasonable opportunity for parties to comment on adoption of proposed policies, and a whole public forum. From the bylaws, we also have that the DNSO shall advise the board with respect to policy issues. So, under evaluation, there is a record of public consultation on this topic, and I've given the reference. As a matter of fact, the various incarnations of the proposed sponsorship agreements, all three of them, were posted and available for comments. The note under that is there is no published report which synthesizes input and generates recommendations based on these to support the policy decisions. This is possibly of concern in the case. In this case, given those affected by the decision, the CCTLDs, overwhelmingly, if I seem to remember correctly, did not support this type of policy, and there is no explanation as to why their input was seemingly ignored. On the second point, to support policy decision, it's unclear if there was a public forum to allow for discussion of the topic. I'm saying it's unclear because the public records are a little fuzzy. It was obviously discussed at the Montevideo meeting, and there was all sorts of things that were going on, but a real clear reference to a, quote, public forum discussion, that's why I left it as sort of a half-seas. There's no record of communications between the board and the DNSO on this matter that could be considered advice. So, applying the mechanics of this thing, again, given this decision can be classified as a policy decision and that it failed to meet some of the requirements for a policy development in effect at the time, it would support a classification of interesting by the DR, by the working group. We've got some notes here. This policy decision was never included in ICP1, and there were never any follow-on documents. This decision seems to also have confirmed the shift requiring that delegations only be to organizations. And right below here, we've got the Section 10, and it should be identified as such, I grant you, and in the newer versions of the document I'm working on, I've got this properly laid out and identified, but section 10 here, principles concerning communication between ICANN and the delegee, is pulled from the GAC principles 2000. Are there any questions at this point? Okay. Eberhardt, Nigel, are you feeling that we're meeting the requirements as we're going through this relative to the methodology that was presented?
I don't have a problem with the methodology and following the methodology. You know what you're doing. Ask what principal issues is repeatedly stated.
Okay. So, next one up. From delegation decisions. So basically, we approached it from stuff that was before the board, and we were looking at that RFC decision. The next thing is we looked at board decisions that were generic and applied to all CCTLDs, and now we're looking at board decisions in the order that we tend to think about things in this working group, which is delegations, redelegations, and then finally retirements. So in this next section, what we're looking at, the only one that I found was of interest and where we could apply the methodology was the .EU decision of March 2005. Change to policy or application of policy. Applicable policies and facts, EU is only listed in the exceptionally reserved list of ISO 3166. The ISO 3166 exceptionally reserved list is not covered by RFC 1591, ICP1, or the GAC principles 2000. The board decision of September 25, 2000 created a new policy allowing such names to be registered as CCTLD. The evaluation is this decision by the board concerning the delegation of CCTLDs. September 25th policy decision by the board covers this case. The board decision is specific to a given CCTLD.EU. Recommendation, the board resolution does not meet the key criteria from the decision tree to define it as a change in policy and would support a recommendation by the working group that this decision is an application of existing policy. Are we good to hear? Okay.
Now, Nigel, is, as you can see, Nigel is offline at the moment, but we're trying to get him back in.
No, I'm having trouble following that box and talking at the same time. Do we want to wait for a few minutes, or shall I carry on?
Carry on. He can read the thing and...
Okay, policy application issues. So this is the first time we're going through the mechanics relative to policy application. So in what context should these issues be considered? So the time of this decision was basically, if we go back, I should probably include those. Whoa. March 2005. So the new ICANN bylaws at the end of 2002, following the evolution and reform process, and I've got the pointer there, introduced some relevant language to the core in the core values section. And those, that language is in number 8, making decisions by applying documented policies neutrally and objectively with integrity and fairness. Number 9, acting with a speed that is responsive to the needs of the Internet while as part of the decision-making process, obtaining informed input from those entities most affected. Evaluation. The relevant policy was adopted September 25th, 2000, and reads, so here we're talking about the policy which we referred to in the previous section. I'm not going to bother to read it again. The code EU has been reserved by the ISO 3166 maintenance agency to cover any application of ISO 3166 that needs a coded representation for the name European Union, including the use of TLD, in communication from your ID to ICANN's president and CEO. Your ID indicated a willingness to enter into a framework of accountability with ICANN and formally requested delegation of the EU CCTLD. So the recommendation is on the specific action by the board for the delegation of .eu, all the critical elements of the decision being considered are clearly and directly supported by the policy or policies that are applicable, and the working group should classify it as a potentially interesting decision only. Yeah, a little bit of wording to play with here. But apart from reworking some of the wording, do we have any questions? So basically we're saying that, you know, if we understand the policy change allowing for such CCTLDs, then the .eu decision was clearly an application of policy which followed the rules. That was the only delegation decision which is analyzed to date in this framework. I didn't see any other ones where this would be relevant or interesting. The next section, of course, is on redelegations. And I'll take a glass of, take a sip of water now. Of course, the first redelegation with a sponsorship agreement historically is the .au redelegation, and we have the minutes there from September 2001. The president is authorized to enter on behalf of ICANN and the CCTLD sponsorship agreement for .au as posted on the ICANN website, along with any minor corrections or adjustments as appropriate. And 88, that upon signature of the agreement, the president is authorized to take such actions as appropriate to implement the agreement. If we look, similar decisions were made for a number of other CCTLD redelegations, including Japan in April 2002, BI, that was an MOU as opposed to a sponsorship agreement, and basically I've gone through listing the various ones, ending with .eu in 2005. All of these are essentially similar, so what I'm proposing here is the AU decision will be analyzed as an example of sponsorship agreements. So retaking those statements again, 87 and 88 that we just looked at a few minutes ago, change of policy or application of policy. The only relevant policy statement is ICANN decision that we analyzed a few minutes ago from the September 25th, 2000. That in view of the state of ongoing discussions, blah, 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 blah. So the evaluation on this one is, this is a decision by the board concerning the delegation of a single CCTLD. The September 25th, 2000 policy decision by the board covers this case. The board decision is specific to a given CCTLD.au. Recommendation, this board resolution does not meet the key criteria from the decision tree to define it as a change in policy, and would support a recommendation by the working group that this decision is an application of existing policy. I think everyone sees that this one is fairly easy to go through, so I'm just going
to
keep...
No, this is not fairly easy to go through. This is extremely difficult to go through because this was a hostile re-registration, a hostile takeover, and that therefore cannot be taken as existing, as application of existing policy. RFC 1591 is very clear that the existing operator needs to consent to, which Chris Dispen has stated publicly in on the working group meeting in Nairobi that this was not the case. So this is not an easy case, and it should be reflected accordingly.
Okay, good point. I was just looking at this from the contract issue. So noted. I'll have a look at it from that point also. Any other thoughts or comments? Okay. So with the caveat that the point Eberhardt made, which is a good one, but right now what's documented there is about the application of the requirement of contracts. Decision was made September 10, 2001. In what context should these issues be considered? There were no directives in the bylaws at this time concerning how the board should apply policies. The evaluation is all of the critical elements of the decision being considered are clearly and directly supported by the policies that are applicable. Eberhardt has challenged that, and I need to look at that and make sure that we've got that included. Fair enough. So this one will need some work, and I will be glad to do that this week, and we can go through it. The thing that may be of interest is the related issue on the bottom, or yes. Following.
Benny, Nigel's got a question.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. Thank you, Keith. I'm trying not to interrupt the flow as much as possible. Just a point in that this language that's in the bylaws after 2002, which says that the board will apply policies objectively and neutrally and quickly and all that good stuff, just because it wasn't in before that point doesn't mean they weren't obliged to do that. That is the natural justice requirements on any decision maker. I just thought I'd make that point.
I'm not arguing that point, Nigel. I'm just saying I noted the change where, you know, as far as the formal requirements that are documented within the ICANN system, that came on. But, yes, I accept your point.
Thanks.
Anything else?
Thanks, Nigel, and don't feel that you need to apologize for interrupting. That's what these working group sessions are for.
Okay. All right, so going back to the related issue, as the first sponsorship agreement approved by the board, there's the issue no longer allowing individuals to be delegates of CCTLDs. There is clear historical documentation of IANA allowing delegations to CCTLDs to individuals. 1591 is silent on the matter. ICP1 copied the language from RFC 1591 on this matter. The initial version of the model sponsorship agreement from ICANN, dated September 2, 2001, clearly indicates delegations can only be to organizations. No delegations or redelegations were made to individuals following the .au redelegation decision. This would seem to support the notion of a change in policy that was implicitly approved by the board recommending it for formal analysis. So basically what I'm proposing is that we actually go through this as a change in policy relative to our framework. Any questions before we attack this one?
If again, can you scroll back one, two lines, please? There is again a word missing. Just hang on. It was approved by the board right here in this paragraph. It was recommended by the board, recommending it for formal analysis under this framework.
Okay.
So for should be inserted here.
Okay.
Can you see this green?
Yeah, the green arrow very well, right here.
Yeah.
Okay. Recommending it for.
You can use it too. If you click in the canvas, you will have control of that green arrow.
Okay, see, for me on my screen, it doesn't show as a green arrow.
Because somebody clicked it off just now.
Okay. Change to policy or application of policy. So if we're looking at this notion of no longer allowing individuals to be CCTLD managers, there is historical documentation allowing redelegations of CCTLDs to individuals. RFC 1591 is silent on the matter. ICP-1's got the same language. The GAC Principles 2000 obviously recognize that delegees can be individuals in its definition section, but is silent on if they can be going forward. And I agree that the grammar here is probably horrible and needs to be reworked, but basically the notion is that the GAC does not take a stand either way on that one. The initial version of the model sponsorship agreement from ICANN, dated September 2nd, 2001, clearly indicates that delegations can only be to organizations. No delegations or redelegations were made to individuals following the .au redelegation. The public IANA report for the .bi redelegation of July 16, 2002, basically a year after .au, adds new language further supporting this policy shift. And this is where we find this new language here, the shifting of CCTLD delegations from individuals that have been designated informally as administrative and technical contact to organizations operating under written agreements or memoranda of understanding is a positive step toward the stable and professional operation of CCTLDs in the public interest. As the Internet becomes increasingly important to global society, it is important that a framework of accountability be established, blah, 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 blah. So, if we put this through, this is an implicit decision by the board concerning the delegation of CCTLDs. The core elements of this decision are not covered by existing policies, i.e. not allowing individuals. We've got a few notes here. September 25th, 2000 policy decision by the board regarding ICANN and CCTLD organizations for the delegation or redelegation of CCTLDs is not clear on this. If we look at 1591, the use of the word organizations in this context is basically that they use manager, authorities, and organizations interchangeably in the document. This would then support the notion that the use of the term organization in the resolution can be interpreted as not representing a change. ICP-1 uses terms in a similar fashion without any indication that it should be interpreted as limitative. Okay. The decision will generate noticeable change, removing the entire class of individuals from being delegees is significant. The board decision is not specific to a given CCTLD, but to all that qualify going forward if you no longer allow individuals to be CCTLD delegees. So the recommendation, given the board's resolution meets the four criteria from the decision tree, it would support a recommendation by the working group that this decision is a change in policy that is applicable to the delegation of CCTLDs. Questions, thoughts, or comments to this point? Okay. Did this meet the requirements for policy development? The date of this decision is September 10, 2001. Would limit policy to the other requirements that we have from previously. Evaluation. This was an implicit change of policy that was not considered communicated to the community as such and would fail to meet the first and critical requirement of notice and comment provisions. So If you read through the various transcripts that are available in presentations and discussions about the various drafts of the sponsorship agreements that were presented, nowhere does it bring up the notion that this change was taking place, although if you look at it very clearly, it is included from the very first model sponsorship agreement from September 2nd, 2001, through to the second one and the third one at 31 January 2002. And you've got the URLs there to have a look at those. That was going quite a bit back for me, and actually digging up the documents and rereading all this stuff was interesting. No, I don't want to restart my computer right now. I'm sorry. Windows has just decided that 3 a.m. is a good time to restart your computer. So, if we look at this from a recommendation point of view, given this decision can be classified as an implicit policy decision and that it failed to meet some important requirements for policy development in effect at the time, it would support a classification of interesting by the working group. Thoughts, comments, questions? Okay. Moving right along. Which brings us to the June 29, 2004 .ly decision. Resolve. The President is permitted to allow the provisional redelegation of the .ly domain to GPTC and Mr. Marwan Magar until such time as a full redelegation may be arranged. Any questions before we start in on this one? Okay. Change of policy. Change of policy or application of policy. Applicable policies and facts. RFC 1591 does not have any mention of provisional redelegation. ICP-1 does not have any mention of provisional redelegation. GAC principles 2005. I don't know why I included those, but the GAC principles don't have any mention of provisional redelegations. That should just be the standard GAC principles. There are no documented policy decisions by the board, no other documented policy decisions by the board with respect to provisional redelegations. Evaluation, this is the decision by the board concerning a single CCTLD. The core element of this decision is not covered by an existing policy. The decision could generate noticeable changes. The redelegation request made by the party did not meet the stated requirements, yet the domain was redelegated. The only condition for this provisional redelegation is that it stand, quote, until such time as the full redelegation may be arranged. So this one is a little longer in the recommendation section. So I've, before providing something, I've got a note here. The working group could consider to classify this either as a change in policy if it considers the introduction of provisional delegations significant enough to merit classification as such, or as an application of policy if not significant enough. It is important to note that if this is considered an application of policy, that it will fail the analysis as such, given the information in the minutes and the IANA report that was made public. So basically we're saying it's got significant issues if we try to consider it as an application of existing policy. This initial request, as it stood at the time of being considered, meaning the redelegation request, did not meet the basic requirements for redelegation. This is probably what led to the introduction of the term provisional delegation, which would allow the applicant to properly complete the request. If this is the case, as it would seem it is, then this would imply that these provisional redelegations are redelegations that are made to an organization that cannot meet the requirements for a redelegation at the time when its request is being considered. This would then imply that this decision should probably be considered as significant, given that a CCTLD is being redelegated to a party whose application does not meet the basic requirements for a redelegation is a unique occurrence at this time and could be interpreted as setting a significant precedent of redelegating CCTLDs to organizations whose redelegation requests do not meet the requirements. This board decision supports a recommendation by the working group that this decision is a change of policy that is applicable to the delegation of CCTLDs, given there's no policy support, the decision of a provisional redelegation. Probably can rework the wording on this one a bit. If you look at it, it meets the first three tests for classifying as a change in policy. I see a bunch of hands going up, so I don't know if we've got questions.
Yes. This is exactly my point that I made earlier with .au. Again, some precedent setting, so you really need to look either to say we are looking at the .au situation purely from the sponsorship agreement side, leaving away all the other issues, but I think it's also important to note that there again was deviation from previous policy and that might be precedent setting, which is unacceptable.
Okay, so just to be clear here, L, I'm not trying to be difficult, it's just you were referring back that this type of analysis I'm doing on .ly here is the type of thing you were talking about when we were considering the .au decision.
Exactly.
Okay. I took that on, and I'm going to redo that .au thing.
Okay.
No problem. Any other questions?
Yeah, Nigel.
This is a very minor thing here, and I don't know if you've done this consistently throughout the document, but this is the first time I see this. You use the word recommendation by the group. I would suggest that we avoid the word recommendation until we come to effectively the end of our work and say our recommendation or recommendations are this, and this. I would say, I mean, I know it sounds like I'm really just rephrasing it for the sake of rephrasing it, but I would say something like this board decision gives weight to the suggestion that or the conclusion that or something along those lines. Just eschew the word recommendation within the text because it detracts from the recommendations that we'll have at the end of the work.
That's probably good. All right. Taken aboard. Thanks, Nigel.
Thanks.
Anything else? Okay. So, if the working group ends up agreeing that this was an implicit change in policy by the ICANN board with this decision, then we should probably look at it against the requirements for such at that time. The date of the decision, June 29, 2004, makes it subject to all the current requirements for policy development, the notice requirements from previous, the core values. I think this is the first time we've gone through these, so we'll read them out. Number four of the core values, seeking and supporting broad informed participation reflecting the functional, geographic, and cultural diversity of the Internet at all levels of policy development and decision-making. Seven, employing open and transparent policy development mechanisms that, one, promote well-informed decisions based on expert advice, and two, ensure that those entities most affected can assist in the policy development process. And nine, acting with a speed that is responsive to the needs of the Internet while, as part of the decision-making process, obtaining informed input from those entities most affected. We've also got the reality now to deal with that the CCNSO exists. And basically Annex B and C the bylaws with respect to the CCNSO clearly define that in most cases policy affecting CCTLDs can only be developed by the CCNSO via a PDP. So those are all the elements we're considering in this evaluation. So, getting on to the evaluation, there is no record of a CCNSO PDP on this subject or any communication between the CCNSO and the board in this matter. There is no record of any type of public consultation on this policy. There is no public record that there was a public forum to allow for discussion of this topic. There is no record of ICANN seeking any broad and informed participation. There was no policy development process. There is no record of obtaining any informed input from those entities most affected, CCTLDs. Recommendation, given this decision can be classified as a policy decision, and that it, no, I don't want to reboot my machine. Go away. I'm sorry about that. Hopefully I've banished it for 4 hours now. Given this decision can be classified as a policy decision and that it failed to meet all the requirements for policy development in effect at the time, it would support a classification of significantly interesting by the working group. With this kind of wording, would support a classification instead of a recommendation work for you, Nigel?
Yeah, sorry about that. It took me a little while to unmute. Can you say that again, Bernie?
I'm thinking that the wording I've used in this recommendation takes away from the term recommended by the working group or recommendations by the working group by simply saying it would support a classification of significantly interesting by the working group.
I just wrote conclusion instead of recommendation in the heading, that's all.
Yeah, okay. Noted, thank you.
Can I just interrupt and make one recommendation? You make these bullet points. I think it may be easier for ease of reference if you made itemized this with running numbers, so we know exactly when we speak about it, we say item so-and-so, item so-and-so.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. So, numbers instead of pictures. Okay. Next one up. July 28, 2005, .kz, redelegation request. No sponsorship agreement required, although the September 25, 2000 policy is still in effect. So basically, as far as I could determine from looking at the various things, this was the first redelegation request that was approved by the board. Where there was no requirement for any type of an agreement. Change to policy or application of policy. Applicable facts and policies. The September 25, 2000 decision still stood. There was nothing that modified it. There's no other board decisions concerning the requirement for sponsorship agreements or MOUs that was documented that I could find. Therefore, it's fairly straightforward that if you got this still on the books, then this is an explicit decision by the board concerning the redelegation of a CCTLD. The core elements of this decision are covered by an existing policy, i.e. redelegation. The decision will generate noticeable changes, no longer requiring agreements. We noted that requiring them was a significant change. Changing to no longer requiring them is, therefore, a significant change again. So basically, there's a little bit of a discussion of the stuff that was going on in my head when I was reading all through this. Supporting the argument that this is not a change in policy. sponsorship agreement nor MOUs are not mentioned in the September 25th, 2000 board decision, supporting the notion that this could be considered a procedural change. Supporting the argument that this is a change in policy is the following. The only stable and appropriate agreements associated with the September 25th, 2000 board decisions were sponsorship agreements and MOUs. Sponsorship agreements and MOUs have been required for every delegation and redelegation since the September 25th, 2000 decision. These agreements have been reviewed by the board prior to making delegation and redelegation decisions. There is no documentation indicating that there is a replacement method for ensuring stable and appropriate agreements between ICANN and the CCTLD organization. Going from mandatory sponsorship agreements or MOUs, which were essentially written contracts, to no agreements would seem to justify that this is a significant change when considering the impact on CCTLDs. Sponsorship agreements and MOUs were not required from this point forward, except for .eu, which was being negotiated at the time. So we've basically got two options here in the what will be renamed the conclusion section. If the working group supports the notion that this is only a change in procedure, then this decision should be classified by the working group as an application of policy. And if the working group does not support the notion that this is only a change in procedure, then this decision should be classified by the working group as a change in policy. If this decision is considered as a change in policy, did this meet the requirements for policy development? The date, July 28, 2005, makes it subject to all the requirements that we've gone through before.
And Nigel has a question, I think, Bernie.
Yes, sir.
I just think it's an appropriate point to throw something in which may be worthy of a footnote rather than disturbing the flow of the document. The reference to .eu, now .eu is a different kettle of fish to any other CCTLD that's delegated. And the reason for that is, irrespective of what it actually stands for, .eu was created after binding legislation was passed in the territory concerned.
Okay, but the point I'm making here is that it signed a sponsorship agreement after the .kz decision. And I was just trying to show that the discussions had been ongoing for a while and that...
Sure. I appreciate that. If I remember correctly, however, the law says that there will be a sponsorship with agreement with ICANN. It's a rather backwards way of putting it, but the law, I believe that the law...
I get your point now. Ah, how interesting. No, I actually think it's worth more than the footnote than... It actually makes that point a little stronger. Thank you, Nigel.
Now, would you like me to research the law and send you the appropriate wording that I was thinking of?
Yes, that would be great.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that offline.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? We're almost done here, folks. Hang in there. Core values, we've gone through it. Developing policies, responsibilities of the CCNSO. Evaluation. There is no record of a PDP on the subject. There is no record of any type of public consultation. There is no public record that there was a public forum to allow for the discussion. There is no record ICANN seeking broad and informed participation. There was no policy development process, and there is no record of obtaining any informed input from those entities most affected, the CCTLDs. So, given this decision can be classified as a policy decision and that it failed to meet all the requirements for policy development, in effect at the time it would support a classification of significantly interesting by the DRDWG. And we've got some notes here. The decision by the board to ignore its own policy without any explanations, thus implicitly changing policy, should be of great interest to the working group. If this decision is considered an application of policy. So basically what I've done is, given that in the previous section I had two options, I went through the second branch of the tree here, depending on what the working group would choose to classify this change as. So, blah, 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 the only relevant policy is the September 25th, 2001. This is new here in that given we're talking about 2005, the new bylaws have these statements here, as we talked about before, making decisions by applying documented policies neutrally and objectively with integrity and fairness. And number nine seems to apply to this stuff too, that if you're going to move very quickly, you obtain informed input from those entities most affected. The evaluation is the decision did not apply documented policies neutrally and objectively with integrity and fairness, and the decision did not obtain informed input from those entities most affected. The CCTLDs had been complaining about this policy strongly and consistently since its inception. However, there was no documented requirement for input on this change from ICAM to the CCTLDs. So the conclusion of this one, if we take the branch that we're looking at it, that it was not a change of policy but an application of policy, then all of the critical elements of the decision being considered are not clearly and directly supported by the applicable policy. The working group should classify it as significantly interesting. And then I have a few notes applicable to either choice. So whenever we end up cleaning this and the working group makes a decision about how to classify these things, to this date, this policy has not been modified in any way that I could find. Every delegation and redelegation since this decision is technically in violation of this policy. Because of this policy limbo, the issue of those organizations that did sign agreements has been ignored by ICANN. So basically, if the CCTLDs that were, if these CCTLDs, meaning those that did sign sponsorship agreements or MOUs, were redelegated today, there wouldn't be no requirement for either of those documents. The fact that this situation has not been addressed with a transition plan to normalize relationships between ICANN and these CCTLDs for almost 5 years should be a cause of significant concern, as it could be considered discriminatory treatment. And that's all we got. Thoughts, comments, questions? Okay, so we've actually gone through the entire list that we've got on the docket for today. And if the group feels that it's worth it, then I could finish bringing in the corrections that have been suggested. Thanks a lot. There have been some good questions. And I could apply this to the other issues that were on our issues document so that we could get a complete set of analysis of those issues using this these mechanics. Thoughts, comments on that?
Okay, I think important things to note here was that the criteria for deciding whether it was a an issue that affected policy or not was expanded to four items of criteria, which was slightly different to where we only used to have three. And other than that, Bernie's work on this document is to take some of the previously identified issues and run them through that test. And Bernie and Bart, I think you've done a fantastic job so far, and I think with the useful input tonight, I'd like to see some further issues worked through the mill as well, and just wonder how others feel about that.
They're dumbfounded and speechless.
Well, I'm not speechless, but I'm most certainly dumbfounded. Basically, what you're writing there, in one sentence, ICANN has never established, demonstrated any rights to act on any of this. They do what they want, whichever way they want, whenever they want it, without any due process.
Eberhard, that's what I said earlier. I said they make it up as they go along.
Yeah. This is frightening stuff, man.
Well, I think that's perhaps a little unfair. I think ICANN has shown that it's wanted to make changes on occasions, and on some things, such as the there must be a contract with ICANN, they have backed off from that, even though they haven't rescinded the actual policy requirement. They haven't required that for subsequent delegations and redelegations. So, you know, perhaps they're not doing, perhaps they're not completely rogue, but I think you know, the issues that we're dealing with here indicate that there are issues of quite reasonably significant concern that to, you know, that could end up with us suggesting to the CCNSO that there should be a policy development process to clarify the rules under which the ICANN board would be bound.
I think you're entirely correct, Keith. I think what we're showing here is a certain amount of amateurism over the years and a lack of rigour.
Yeah, and I think in perhaps on occasions the board's desire to interpret policy without referring it through a reasonable mechanism of testing it against the constituents and so on. However, I'd be interested in Kim's comments on this. If you care to make any observations, Kim? Oops.
Kim, are you still there?
Looks like we've lost them. Okay. Okay. I'll specifically put that question to Kim later. But is everyone reasonably satisfied with this as the methodology for those issues that we have identified? And are we happy to ask Bernie and Bart to continue work in developing the other issues through this methodology?
I'm, as I said, quite happy, provided that my odd references to the first principles would get incorporated in some other form. So that when we produce a document, that whoever reads it see that these things have been looked at. Something totally else. If everybody who is on the phone call, why don't we switch over to the Adobe and see how this works with audio? When we're finished with the important stuff, I mean, for a few minutes.
I think that would be well worthwhile testing. Eberhard, that sounds like a good idea. So anyone who wants to test the Adobe Connect audio, please stay on Adobe Connect after we terminate the call.
Okay, so this is Bernie, just to be clear. We'll finish beavering through, very Canadian reference here, we'll finish working through the other issues. We'll update from the input we got tonight, and I will try to get something to Keith so that he can send it out Monday morning latest. We're going to need a bit of time to work through some of these issues. So if we send this out Monday morning North American time, it should give everyone time to read it and be ready for the meeting on Thursday next week. Would that be okay?
That's excellent for me. And if there's no objection, we'll progress that. I think the other sort of final issue I'd like to raise is the assertions that we have in the document that certain items are significantly interesting, some are interesting, etc. And I'd really like working group members to test their own feelings against the current assertions, which essentially come from Bernie and his interpretation. But what I'd like to do is, as this document is finessed, that we can, by at least by consensus, agree that we believe these assertions to be the accurate assertions, given that those items that are significantly interesting are things that we believe should lead to a policy development process, etc. So it's our individual and collective prioritisation of the issues that I think we need to put our minds to. So please, in rereading the document, can you apply that test and be prepared to argue or debate the relative priorities assessed to each of the issues?
Okay. This is Bernie.
Yep.
Yes, the stuff in the document in the conclusion section is phrased as recommendations and supporting and various other things, but it's my hope that by the time we finalize this document that we can write in that there is consensus from the working group that this should be classified as that, and that we be clear about that. So I would support your request very strongly in that, you know, we phrase some stuff, and to a certain level, this is a document for the working group. But as, you know, if we're going to move this forward as a document, and if it's going to go public, then we need that to have the working group make the decisions relative to the classification of these things.
Excellent. Okay, do we have any other items to discuss on this call? Anything that anyone would like to raise? If not, I'll just say thank you very much all for your attendance, and we're meeting in 1 week's time, and hopefully by close of play Monday we'll have a new and amended document in your hands. So thank you very much all for your attendance again, and those who want to do some testing in Adobe Connect, please stay in that room and we'll test the audio there. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Well, excellent piece of work, Bernie.
Thank you, Nigel. Talk to you later, guys.